Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. And now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, JB and Tommy.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jay Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we are too tired, old man.
This is true.
What's up, always, man? How you doing, Tommy?
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. Tired, of course, because still have a baby, and babies make you awfully tired. A baby that's going to be one in 2 days, by the
way.
Yeah, holy little dude has crap. A birthday on Wednesday, which is just nuts.
Yeah. I was thinking about that, and I was actually telling somebody over the weekend that you had a 6-year-old and a 1-year-old, and all they could do was shake their head. Because that's a little insane.
I'm an old dad, like, just, you know, I'm 41,
right?
I have a kid that's one. Like, I'm an old dad, and I'm really feeling it recently, and so I have been very intentional about trying just to be, like, better about, like, my personal health and eating better,
right,
and exercising and all that kind of stuff. Just trying to keep up, because I'm gonna be like 50 when the dude's a teenager, like.
Right.
So,
it's really funny that you mentioned this, because I had my annual physical last week.
Mm.
And, like, I've been prepping for this thing for, like, a couple of months, because I didn't like where my numbers were last year. And so cut out sugar, made a lot of changes, did some things. And the numbers were better, but I'm right there with you, sir. This is not fun.
Yeah, it just doesn't stop. We just keep getting older. It's one direction, man.
It is one direction. You're trying to keep up with a kid, and I'm trying to stay out of a nursing home. So
on that cheerful note.
Yeah. So we're glad to be here, all of that said.
Yes.
The man has his Houston hat on because we're entering playoff baseball time. There was lots and lots of baseball on last night. Lots of really good football.
Yeah.
Yesterday, lots of stuff going on. I have gotten to play games a little bit. I don't know if he's gotten to play anything at all, but
a little bit.
I did, speaking of old man stuff, I did get a chance to go to a birthday party for a friend of mine that just turned 44. And part of going to the birthday party was to get to sit and watch the Canelo Alvarez fight that happened this weekend.
Nice.
And that's a very old man thing. We've not really talked about boxing, but I love boxing. And if you know anything about sports, boxing is dead.
Yes.
So when you can find a decent fight, that's a beautiful old man day.
Yes.
And I got to do that Saturday night and really enjoyed it.
Nice. Yeah, that is about as old man as you get in the sports world right now. Watching a pay-per-view boxing match feels pretty old man.
Yes. And I'm totally proud of it. Totally proud of it.
Fair enough.
I am excited because we have something that we have not had on this show in a very long time, and that is that we have a voicemail.
Yes, we do have a voicemail.
And not only do we have a voicemail, but we have a voicemail from Duff.
Yes.
Which should be interesting, because I think he's just trying to make sure we're still alive. That's what's going on.
Which is fair, because it would be sad if we weren't. And as we've discussed, we are getting old, so it's entirely possible. So,
yes, we can keel over at any time.
Yes.
Sure. That being said, we should say thanks to the Patreon guys.
We absolutely should.
Before we get started.
So big thanks to Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, and Jordan. As always, we thank you all for your support. If you'd like to support the show, you can do that. Go by GamingUncensored.com, click on that, become a patron link, and send us some money so we can buy more video games. Not that we right now need to buy more video games. We just need to play the ones that we own.
Yeah, we have so many video games.
It's own thing, but we're slowly getting there. Gaming has picked up just slightly. Hopefully we'll be picking up a little bit more in the next few weeks. We would love your support, and thanks for everybody that has supported us.
I'm totally geeked out, and I'm not gonna spend too much time on it because I've been geeking out for months on this, and so I'm not gonna spend 20 minutes geeking out more. But I got a chance to play a little more Midnight Suns over the weekend and picked up Captain America. So it is getting real. I've got a few Avengers. I've got a few X-Men. This is some good stuff right here.
Yeah.
It's a really, really, really good Firaxis title. So much so that I'm not sure Civ 7 is going to be this good. Civ 7 is going to be great. I don't know that it's going to be this good. And it's all about being in that Marvel universe with the gameplay and a really good story, like maybe not a movie level story, but like a Disney Plus level story. I'm digging it, man. It's just a blast. And they had a twist, which I'm not going to tell you what the twist is, but it was like, whoa, didn't see that. Okay.
Nice.
I'm having a great time.
Yeah, that's great. It's interesting, like the idea of a Marvel Firaxis game and then like Civ, which to me, like Civ is like gamer like royalty in a way, right? It's like very highbrow serious gamer content versus X-Men, whatever
you need like to play some Civ, you need some bourbon and maybe a cigar and
which sounds amazing. Like now you got me thinking about playing Civ with a glass of bourbon, and I'm just like, hey, that is going to be awesome when that happens very soon.
Yeah.
But all that to say, obviously, there's just something about Marvel that's just really fun. And bring Firaxis gameplay into Marvel Universe, and that seems like it should be a good time. And so I'm glad to hear that it is, and it's sitting on my rig, and I want to get to it at some point. And hearing you talk about it makes me want
to
do that.
I have to apologize to Duff, which I assume we're going to play his voicemail today. But I can't play anything else. I it's that and Balatro. We have a Balatro story.
We do.
And so I'll just throw that in. I'm playing Midnight Suns and Balatro, and I hate Balatro with a passion because I texted you and told you several weeks ago that I beat it. And your response was great, do it again. And so I switched decks.
Yep.
And I have been trying to beat it on the red deck and have been vastly unsuccessful. Vastly unsuccessful. I get about halfway. I get to like the 40,000 point mark.
Yeah.
And I just get smoked.
Yeah.
So yeah, that lousy thing makes me angry. And I can't stop playing it either.
Yep. It's so freaking addictive. And it's amazing. I'll go ahead and mention it here because I don't know that we'll get to it in the show notes. We talked about several weeks, months ago, that Balatro is coming to mobile devices. That is now with a release date, which is at the end of this month. It's like 2 weeks, September 28th or something like that, just right at the end of the month. And so for all of you that have played Balatro and know how ridiculously addictive it is, now you get to do it on your phones. And for those of you who have not and have a mobile device, you will potentially be introduced to it and say goodbye to your productivity, which is exactly what Balatro said on their official Twitter account about this, which I was like, yeah, fair. That's true.
I was just about to say, all of you that have real jobs, if you start playing this, you're going to have to look for another job.
Yes.
Because you're not going to get anything else done. I feel awful as a gamer. This is another one of those situations where I really feel like I may just need to turn in my gamer card. Because there's nothing to it. Like, I probably put, I need to look on Steam, but I'm not close enough to the computer to pull it up. I bet I put 50 hours in yeah. on Balatro, which is just absurd.
It is ridiculous.
I mean, I might as well be an 80-year-old lady playing Mahjong. that's what we're doing here.
It is exactly what we're doing, and it's phenomenal. It's just it's so freaking addictive. And like, again, it's a very simple concept yet executed incredibly well, and it has just enough complexity to like keep you coming back. You can go online and like search for people that have put together like massive tables of like what jokers are, you know, the most valuable and like synergies and like all.
Ooh,
of this
I gotta look that up. Wild. Which ones are the most valuable? Because I get the ones that look. That I think would be useful, and it all has to do with how much of a multiplier can I get.
Right.
But like I made a run last night and I had a couple of times that I had a massive multiplier. Like I had like a 60x multiplier and I still lost. So
It'll happen that way all the time. You get like the random like boss ante that just like kills your whole strategy, and like just like there's so much about it. Again, it just has this complexity that's super fun and unexpected, and it's it is coming to mobile devices. So again, if you have an Android or an iPhone, it's coming to Apple Arcade too, which is super cool. So if you have Apple Arcade, you don't even have to buy it. It's just part of your subscription to Apple Arcade, which is cool. So anyway, go play Balatro because it will own your soul. I'll mention just really quickly the only thing that put much time into that we talked about on the last show just a little bit that I really hadn't gotten into much. Now I've put in some more time is Green Hell, the survival game, which just works really good for me right now because it's one that I could just pause and do a little bit of pause. And so it just sits running on my PC idle for hours at a time. But it is like just like trying to live, like you're building a shelter and you're like trying to like hunt little animals and like gathering coconuts and laying them out when it rains so you have fresh water, like just all the ridiculous stuff like that is like a survival game, but like with a campaign mode that has a story that's somewhat interesting, but at least gives you, it's kind of Firewatch-y in that way, like you have this radio communication that you're doing the whole time, and it's not the best game of all time. It's not something that I'm like, oh yeah, I'm thrilled that this is a game that exists, although it just hit like the right time in like my busyness to be like what I needed, and it clicks, and so it's not bad. It's interesting. Like it's Firewatch, except like you get worms living under your skin and have to pull leeches off yourself, and like panthers randomly attack you. Like it's pretty gnarly at times, but also really intriguing. It's an interesting game. I enjoy it.
All I'd say about that is that you know you're hard up as a gamer if you have to go there, and like it it fits your life and kind of lets you solve the Jones. Like, it's not really what you want to play, but it's right there. And that's when you know you're really hard up as an old man with two kids. And,
yes.
Like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
100% true. Yeah. And I've touched Final Fantasy a couple of times in there, and jonesing to get back to Final Fantasy.
Dude,
jonesing to play. It's Final Fantasy.
I look at the YouTube like twice a day. I'm like, is he playing anymore? Because I have to I have to see more. And yeah. At this birthday party that I was at on Friday night, there was like a 19 or 20 year old coworker there, and we started talking about video games. Coworker of this guy, and we started talking about video games, and he's like, "Well, he said Smash Bros. Is my thing. I love Smash Bros. But what else do you play?" And I was like, "Way into Final Fantasy." He's like, "Ah, I dig it. I dig it so much." And so we were talking about it a little bit, and it's just so weird. But what makes it even weirder with this second part is that we have no idea how it's going to play out.
Yeah.
Like, we have no idea where they're going to go with it. And when we finish this, there's a whole other part. Like, it's absurd that we're playing this thing because I was telling this guy that we had been playing for a while, and the sad thing is that we're gonna have to wait 2 more years for part 3. Like, what are we doing here, man?
Yeah.
But you can't put it down because you want to know what they did with it. So
yeah, it's so weird. It's so fast. It's so much deeper than the original. Like, they've just added so many layers and different content in there. It's just, yeah, it's phenomenal. And yeah, it hurts that it's taking us as long as it is to get through it. So
yes.
All that said, should we hear from Duff real quick?
Yeah.
like we said, having a voicemail is super fun. And so
it's awesome.
Yes, we are thrilled, and so thank you, Duff, for calling in and talking to us a little bit. And for anybody else that would also like to call in and talk to us, we'd love for you to do that at
509-GAME-210.
That's right, 509-GAME-210. Duff is keeping our voicemail line alive for just a little bit longer, and so we appreciate that. But help us out. Tell Google to not shut down our voicemail line. Call
they
us,
will try.
Yes, they do keep trying. 509-GAME-210. So here is Duff.
Wanted to call into the voicemail line because you guys keep saying call in. Decided to pull up episode 484 on YouTube and saw lots of colorful art on your studio walls. Question mark. Guys, who did this amazing artwork on your studio walls? Assuming that was Genevieve, Tommy, and Jamie, maybe your cousin? Let me know. Stoked. Just checking to make sure this thing still works. Shoots. Aloha, guys.
Yeah. Most of the artwork on my wall.
We'll
talk about it. We've talked about the big piece before, which I will mention. Mr. Jonathan Miller for the link drawing back there. I really dig that guy, and you can find him on Instagram. I will get his handle for the show notes. He is awesome, and I am still not above begging him to work for this show. I haven't done that in several weeks, but I will totally send him another message. But you can find his handle and stuff in the show notes. And everything else, the sexy sidekick basically said, these blank walls suck. and found random pictures of controllers, and we put them on the walls. And so that's where the artwork came from. Thank you to her, and thank you to Jonathan Miller for that. As for his office, I'll let him tell you about that.
Yeah, mine. So my office is Beatles theme, which if you're watching on Patreon, you can see all the Beatles stuff, at least behind me. And so there's like album covers here above my shoulder. There's more album covers. These actually over here above my other shoulder. Sorry, I got away from the mic there. Are coasters that I just like stuck on a cabinet because I thought they were cool. And then these ones, let me move over again this way.
Yeah,
the real colorful ones that are right behind me that my head's blocking most of the time, that are the Abbey Road silhouettes. My brother made those for me for Christmas one year, which is cool. So those are personal. The other ones are all just like random stuff. There's a yellow submarine over here. I've got a yellow submarine lunchbox somewhere. There's something really heavy in it. I don't even know what it is, but so yeah, that's the theme in the home studio here is Beatles stuff. And so that most of it is not sentimental in any way. It's just Beatles, but Jimmy does love the Beatles, which is cool.
Yes.
I don't have any of her artwork in here, which I probably should. I do have like family pictures and stuff in front of me that you can't see on the camera.
I will say that there's a slight fantasy that I have because Tommy has a fairly large vinyl collection, as I do as well. Obviously, me with cerebral palsy and record players do not get along, but I love vinyl, and so does he. And so we have a record player in both places. And one of the things that we would like to get around to before we die is to just sit around and listen to records while having a drink in our hand. And I hope at some point that will happen. But we're huge music guys.
Yes.
And love vinyl on top of that. So
I have to mention just the other day, probably in between since last we did a show, Genevieve was like, hey, can we listen to some of these? And so we did. We put on some vinyls and
that's awesome.
In the family room the other day and listened to I'm trying to remember what we even listened to. We listened to some Beatles. We listened to ABBA. I have ABBA's greatest hits, but like pre-Dancing Queen ABBA's greatest, which is great. Anyway, I'm trying to think of what else. And we listened to a couple of other things. Some James Taylor on vinyl. That was
Some James Taylor.
Yeah.
That's a concert I will never regret. I paid money to see James Taylor. That was the best money I ever spent in my life.
I believe it. Genevieve, not as big into the James Taylor album, but man, it's so good. So anyway, that's a whole other show we could do someday of our music tastes. But vinyl is fun. I really do like listening.
It is. It's a good time. And I'm so proud because I think Genevieve's going to be this way. I have two nieces that actually, when it comes to buying music, the way they have started buying new music even, is on vinyl. That's what they request for Christmas, is a new album on vinyl, which makes me happy as an old man.
It does, as an old man. And it's like really the only way you buy physical music anymore. Like nobody buys a CD at this point. I believe it was year before, vinyl outsold CDs for the first time since like 1980 whatever. Like just crazy, the resurgence of vinyl in a very small sliver of the music market. Obviously not anything like what music sales used to be. Music is a different industry at this point than it was, but still very cool that the way that people are consuming physical music at this point is the same way that our parents consume physical music, or grandparents, or when we were very young.
I will tell you, Ren, this is how old we are, because there was always a record player in my house. My parents played 45s on a regular basis, and if it wasn't on a 45 or an LP, it was on a cassette tape.
Yeah.
So this is the way we grew up.
Yeah, for sure. And it's fun to just see like a little bit of that again, kind of researching, which doesn't happen with many of the things from when we were young. Most of the things that were cool when we were young, like I don't think video cassettes are ever coming back.
No.
Having physical music in some capacity is super cool. So very fun to see that. I'm glad your nieces are into physical music as well.
Me too. Cool. I thought I was going to have to beg, but they're like, can I have this? And I'm like, yes.
Please have that. So, yeah. All that said, should we get to some news?
We should.
We've got news this week.
Big news.
We've got big news that comes with a big price tag. So we're gonna launch with that. The PS5 Pro has been announced. Something that we have anticipated for quite a while, and no big surprise there. We knew it was going to happen. Mark Cerny came out, did a real kind of brief video touting the new PlayStation 5 Pro. It is very similar to what the PS4 Pro was and what you would think this is, a mid-generation update that is more powerful graphically. The big thing, kind of big selling point, the way that he was trying to pitch it is with the PlayStation 5, you have to choose between performance mode or graphic mode. If you're in graphic mode, you get all the fancy ray tracing and all that kind of stuff, higher resolution, but you don't get 60 frames per second. If you're in performance mode, you get the great 60 frames per second, but you lose out on some of that resolution, fidelity. You don't get the ray tracing in the same degree and all that. And we've talked about this and having to make that choice. And very specifically when we were playing Ratchet and Clank 3 or 4 years ago, whatever it was at this point, of trying both out in real time and going, oh, wow, we are performance mode people. We didn't realize we were going to be performance mode people, but it you know, made a big difference. But again, we had to make that choice. And so the pitch here is we want to give you a console where you don't have to make the choice, that you just get the one mode, what video gaming has been in the past on a console, at least in PC world, obviously much different, but in console world, you put the game in, you play it, you don't have to choose whether or not it looks prettier or plays better. And so that's what they're trying to do, that like essentially this is both. You get graphics and performance mode rolled into one, and it's even better than either one of those are on the stock PS5. And all well and good. And it goes through all the details about what those updates look like, the GPU processing and prowess and all that kind of stuff. So cool. Great price tag. I think this is where we're going to get caught up on this. $699 for the PlayStation 5 Pro.
Okay. So I read that price tag about 25 minutes ago, and I flip-flopped twice in the last 25 minutes. I told you it was going to be an old man show, and we're going to be grumpy because I don't like that price. But let me just say, it's really expensive, but at the same time, like, you either spend that money on that or you go get it like 5080. That's the equivalent. Like, you're not going to get a 5080 for $800. You're just not. Whenever they come out, they're coming and I'm excited about it. I know you're excited because we love our 4070s, and they're good enough that, like, I think I talked about this on a previous show. The 4070 is good enough that I'm excited to see what the next level up does. Not that I'm necessarily going to spend that money, but if I can find that money, I'm not probably going to hesitate that much. Sure. So I want to, you know, go old school Gaming Uncensored 2006 and complain about how nasty the price point is and we can't afford that and whatever. All of that is true. You got two kids. I'm a cripple trying to live on my own. Like, I can't spend $700 on a PS5 Pro. Especially when I have a really nice PC sitting here that essentially I can play all of the really good Sony games on the PC.
Right.
However, if you can only do one or the other, it's not that bad. I mean,
right.
But it's you're not going to get a 5080 for $700.
Right. And that's a valid point. But I would say go spend your $700 on building a PC as opposed to being a PS5.
I agree 1,000%.
Like, this is just better investment overall. And I know you agree with that, but yes. I do think that's true. Here's my deal with it. And I'm curious of your take on this, because this is definitely the feeling that I've had in both the PlayStation 5 era and since I've gotten the 4070 and I've gotten to, you know, closer to the cutting edge of PC, you know, graphic power and all that kind of stuff. So I've got top-end console, top-end PC, and able to play games on both, and have been able to push both of those with, you know, some very impressive titles. And both are amazing experiences. Like, let me caveat, because I'm going to sound complaining for just a second. I'm not giving up either one of them. I love them.
No.
Desperately. That said, the graphical fidelity increases that we see at this point in gaming are marginal. Right? Like, they're just not major. Like, go back, since we've been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, like, go back and look at what Final Fantasy VII looked like on the PlayStation, and then look at what Final Fantasy X looked like on the PlayStation 2 2 years later, whatever it was. Like, there's just this not big gap between 3 years later. What, like, it was crazy. The amount of progress that we made for a while, like, and that continued, like, PlayStation 3 or PlayStation 2 to PlayStation 3, like, really significant in the ways that those graphical updates looked. And same thing going from, like, Xbox One, but those gaps narrow each kind of generation jump. And so from PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5, yes, the games look better, but not like so much so that you can just show me a screenshot or a video clip of a game that I'm not familiar with and say, which generation is this from? And I'd go, oh yeah, obviously that's, you know, PlayStation 5 versus PlayStation 4. There's not that big of a leap at this point. And the same thing is,
I've got a great example of this. You ready? Cause I've been trying to figure out some ways to get angry about this. And I guess here it is. I do not understand The Last of Us remake. I don't get, like, it makes no sense. Yeah, it looks better, but it's not enough better. And I've noticed with all of these remakes, they all say, if you watch review, they all say, and oh yeah, there's some gameplay tweaks that make it better. Same deal with the Mass Effect trilogy, the remake that they did there. Oh yeah, there's some gameplay tweaks to make it better. Look, the graphics are better, but it's not enough better to cough up another $60.
Yes.
To like, you know,
and
see
that's
how cool it looks.
And that's the thing, right? And this is the, like, blind test for me was playing first Ratchet and Clank. And I did kind of the same thing with Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man game on PlayStation 5. Spider-Man 2, I guess it is, right?
Yeah.
Of, like, that kind of A-B between performance mode and graphics mode, because you definitely feel a performance change when you go to graphics mode, because that 30 frames versus 60 frames makes a difference of how the game feels in your hand with the controller. But after about 2 minutes of playing in performance mode, I miss none of the graphical fidelity stuff. And that's in the showcase with Mark Cerny, which you can go by the show notes, gamingcensored.com, and see the in that link. There's, you can watch the 10-minute video of it, whatever. He's showing off specifically in Spider-Man 2. Like, here's how this improves your experience. And it, like, zooms in on, like, a tree and some traffic going around in the background. And sure enough, when it zoomed in, very obviously, like, the tree from the PlayStation 5 in performance mode versus the PlayStation 5 Pro is, like, lower resolution. You can see it's kind of fuzzy around the edges and all that kind of stuff. You go, oh yeah, that looks better. But when you are swinging through New York City playing as Spider-Man, you never go, oh, that tree over there is a little blurry. You know, like, it's just not something that has any practical impact on me playing a game. I love that, like, the skin textures are a little bit more realistic in Horizon, another one he showed off. Like, it's gorgeous. It looks amazing. But it's such a minimal upgrade of what your experience is if you're playing on the PlayStation 5 in performance mode. Again, that's going to be our lowest graphical option on a PlayStation 5 at this point. I just don't see, like, your average consumer being able to tell any difference, or me after 5 minutes of playing it being able to really tell a significant difference. Right. And to pay, because that's what you're paying for, because you can play in performance mode right now. You get the 60 frames per second on PlayStation 5. So you're paying to have that with the ray tracing, essentially, or with the higher resolutions. To pay $700 to get that, unless you're just diehard and just like, this is what you do, and that's what you really want, your biggest PlayStation homer and all that stuff, like, great, I get it. And, like, for people that are going to go spend that money on that, like, I'm all in support of it because I want the video game industry to continue to do great. But personally, I just can't find a way to justify that. Like, that's a crazy price point. It's crazy. That's $700 for a console is nuts.
It's $100 more than what we paid for the PS3, and we paid too much for that.
Right. Like, the PS3 bombed at launch because it had a $600 price tag and was way overpriced when it came out. And this is, again, inflation adjusted, you can blah, 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 whatever. It doesn't matter. $700 for a console, like, again, a mid-generation new SKU to a console is just mind-boggling to me. I am super fascinated to see what these sales numbers are going to be, because there's also this kind of vacuum in the game industry where there hasn't been much hardware in several years. And so I don't know if they're going to have success on this just because, like, people are like, oh, I haven't spent money on a console for a while. Why not spend $700?
Okay, so let me give you the other side of that. Now, I'm going to say this now because Duff is listening. but at some point, I'm going to see you again, and we're going to sit in this big fancy room that we got with this big fancy TV with the sound and all of that. And we're going to get a PlayStation accessibility controller, and I'm going to be able to play on the PlayStation. So I'm going to need a PlayStation to do that, right?
Sure.
We're going to need a PlayStation to do that, because I would like to be able to have a PlayStation and be able to play a console game the way I used to. However, now that Duff has taken care of both of us and we have really, 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 really nice PCs,
yes,
probably what is more important at this point is getting the Microsoft accessibility controller running on the PC with the 4070 or 5070, yeah, or whatever's in it at this point. I'd love to have a PlayStation, but I don't have to have a PlayStation to play Spider-Man 2 or Final Fantasy VII Remake or The Last of Us or Red Dead or Ghost of Tsushima. Like, it's all available on the PC.
Yeah.
And going back 15 minutes ago to what you just said, if I have a choice, I'm going to do all of that on the PC.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. You get more control. You get more customization. You get all the things. And again, like, that makes all the sense. One of the reasons that console gaming is as successful as it is relative to PC gaming is that it's just way cheaper to get into similar performance. A PlayStation 5, before we get to the PlayStation 5 Pro, costs $400 or whatever, right? And that's what, not even what we spent on a graphics card, much less getting a motherboard and a processor and everything else that you need in order to get a game-worthy PC up and running. Like, you just get similar performance on a much smaller budget. If we're going to just be like $1,000 for the Xbox Series X Plus or whatever it is, like, Empire PC. Like, go. And I know that's not everybody's thing. I know not everybody's going to be like, yeah, I want to do the work of building or customizing or dealing with overclocks or BIOS or whatever. Like, there's a ton of stuff that goes into being a custom PC guy. If you're not into that and you still just want to pay the money for a console, great. But like, that feels like where the console game, at least in some level, is going, and it just doesn't make sense to me. And maybe it does because everything's going to go streaming soon anyway, and so the only reason that you're going to want a console is to have something that's like super beastly and you expect to pay that money. Maybe that's just where we're going.
Okay, so can I'll just bring this up also, and I think I brought it up with you. I don't remember. But I am now paying the same price for my fiber internet that you are. My fiber internet, my 1 gig fiber internet went down. I didn't have to call anybody. It went down.
Love that.
Because they're trying to sell 2.5 gig service at a higher price. And I've looked at it 3 times. Like, I've logged on to the website and like looked at the price and thought, you know what? I don't need that. And part of the reason that everything is going streaming is because the internet companies and the gaming companies are like, now we have enough bandwidth to actually do this and have some headroom left over. And it gives us an excuse to try and sell 2.5 gig service.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you, as a guy that has been on fiber for 3 years, there is nothing on the internet, and I think you agree, there is nothing on the internet right now that can touch either one of our services.
Yeah.
And it's going to be at least 3 years before I have to upgrade to a 2.5 gig service.
Yeah.
You just don't need it except for streaming. So that's why we're going streaming.
Yeah. And it's going to continue that way. And we've talked about that in the past. It is the future of media consumption. And so I wonder if that's part of what Sony's thinking here is like, who cares what the price tag is? Because like, we're moving away from this model anyway. And whatever the PlayStation 6 is, there will probably be the premium model. Like what Xbox did this generation is likely what PlayStation will do next generation. At least my guess is that they'll have like the beast of a system that you can buy, and then they'll have the streaming rig. And at that point, the streaming rig will probably, as is apparently the case, again, Microsoft not great at releasing these numbers, but reports are that the Series S has way outsold the Series X, even though it's an inferior console. And part of that is because of Game Pass and streaming that's available on it. Part of it is because people just want the cheaper option. And again, that's what I see here with Sony. It's like, to me, what this means is that like the value of a standard PlayStation 4 is going to go up, like how much people want it because of the lower price tag, which will be interesting to see if it actually drives the price up.
You mean a PlayStation 5.
Right. PlayStation 5. Like that's going to drive more interest in the stock PlayStation 5 because it's so much cheaper than the PlayStation 5 Pro. And again, at this point, if you want a console, you probably have it. And we're just in a different era of gaming where things look different, and it kind of is what it is. But it's a fascinating decision that Sony has made here. There is at least one analyst, and again, you can go by show notes to see all this reporting, that says that they expect the PlayStation 5 Pro to sell at PlayStation 4 Pro level. So again, comparing kind of apples to apples here, there was a PS4 Pro. The difference being, obviously, that the PS4 Pro did not come out with this crazy price tag above what the original was. I believe the PlayStation 5 Pro, when it came out at $400, and the PlayStation 4 at that point was down to $300. So essentially it released at the original console's original price point, which is what we typically see in these situations, like somewhere around that original price point. And so seeing this have launched even at $500 wouldn't have been nearly as shocking, but $700 again, just insane. So interesting take to think they'll sell similar, but maybe some of that again is just this fact that it's there and people have money. Like the target audience for this is not 18-year-olds. The target audience for this is 40-year-olds. It's guys, mostly, I won't say guys exclusively, men and women that have expendable income and like their expensive hobbies, of which gaming is now one of them. And so maybe there's something to it. But
well, let's be honest. I mean, we got... I wasn't going to go here, but here we go. we have an election in 50 days. And one of the big talking points for the election is inflation and putting groceries on the table and what utility bills are and that kind of stuff. Let's be real honest here. Because you and I have this show, because you and I have the audience that we have been extraordinarily blessed.
Yes.
I don't think either one of us, when we started, envisioned that this show would be successful enough to have all the crap in our offices that we have. You have two new computers in your office, like as of 3 weeks ago. I have two new computers in my office, a sound system, a huge freaking TV. Like this show has given us 98% of what we got. And if we didn't have this show, and granted, you have a good job with a couple of good paychecks. But if we didn't have this show, neither one of us would be in the space in gaming where we are right now, even with our good jobs.
Yes.
And so I think it is a stretch for Sony to say, people will buy it because it's for 40-year-olds with expendable income. If we didn't have the show, I'd be trying to figure out what I could sell to pay for a PlayStation 5 Pro, and we probably wouldn't have, you know, four computers in our offices between us. Like,
yeah,
no way.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I'm in agreement with you there. Again, I think they're making a judgment that is not in line with reality, but we'll see. Because that's one thing is, consumer sentiment and consumer behavior are two different things. People say stuff is too expensive and then they still go out and buy expensive stuff. Like, right. I'm really curious to see what happens with this and if it's obvious that it's the price point that is the barrier, which of course, like, that's going to seem what it is. I'm also interested to see, just now that we're kind of plotting this out, what Microsoft's response is, if they have a response, if they feel like they have a need to put out hardware that addresses this. Microsoft has become seemingly so non-hardware focused in the past couple of years. Like, they put out the Series X and then are like, kind of like, hardware doesn't matter. So I kind of anticipate they won't do anything in response here, but I'm curious to see if that changes.
Well, here's the thing. And I feel like I've been saying this on this show for 10 years. Probably because I have. but it's gonna all come down to bandwidth. I've heard from four or five different people who have just randomly said within my hearing, they pull out their phones and they look and they go, man, the internet's really sucking right now, and I have to tell them, like, you're on 5G. Like, right. you're not plugged in. Yeah, the cell phone server sucks. I don't know what's going on, but it sucks, right? And it has for a while. I'm sure there's denial of service attacks and all kinds of things happening because that's the world that we live in. There's all kinds of things happening every day that we have no clue about until stuff starts to suck.
Right.
And then you kind of dig into it and you figure, well, this or that's going on or whatever. My point is whether or not Microsoft has some sort of response to this is going to be wholly and completely based on whether streaming games on Game Pass works 98% of the time. If it works 98% of the time, they're not gonna screw with the releasing hardware. If we have an issue where somebody, there's a week or 2 weeks or a month, or I don't know what the number is, but if there is a period of time where bandwidth gets really bad and you can't stream games on Game Pass, Microsoft's gonna have to pivot. But unless that happens, they're not going to do it, because they want us to stream everything. That's what the bandwidth for.
Yeah, that is all valid. And to add on to that as well, in Microsoft's thinking, they are also leaning more into being a publisher, right? So, you know, a game that you're going to be able to play on your PlayStation 5 Pro in 2 months, 3 months, whatever it is, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle,
yep,
is coming launch day to PlayStation 5 because Microsoft is smart enough to realize that this title that they have that's being published by Bethesda, that's under the umbrella of Microsoft, is going to make them a whole lot more money ultimately if they could also sell PS5 copies of it. And so, like, Microsoft doesn't care if you're playing Microsoft games on a PlayStation 5, you know, like, they get the benefit of that powerful hardware.
And we've been going this way for a while. I mean, we talked a couple of years ago about Sega games showing up on your Switch. Like, yeah, when we were growing up as kids, that's heresy, man.
Like, crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but now it's happening. That's
like nobody bats an eye. Like, it's obvious. Like, that's just what happened. And that's very much where it's going to go. So Sony could continue to be that powerhouse home console, and Microsoft is going to make money off of it, because we've talked about it in the past a ton, and we don't know the internal numbers, but Sony selling this thing for $700 is still making a razor thin profit on it. If they're making,
I would even say they're not making
a profit. They very well could be taking a loss.
I mean, for crying out loud. I just said, well, 50 minutes ago, I said $700 is not going to buy you a 5080. So you put whatever graphics card in the thing, whatever chip in the thing, whatever motherboard in the thing, like, it's over $700, because, and for all you old people listening out there, I'm going to say this one time. For everybody that calls me and says, I need a new computer and I want it to be a laptop. If you insist on doing any type of computer system in a small form factor, it's going to cost more.
Yes.
So, like, if you want a powerhouse system and you want it for cheaper, you need to buy a desktop. But everybody says, oh, I need to be able to carry it. I need to be able to go here. 90% of people plug it in at their desk and it never moves. And then they call me when their battery won't stay up because it's always plugged in, right? So yep. I'm going to bet you money that $700, I bet they're losing $50 per console.
Yeah, we've talked about forever. Like, this is not a place where game companies make money on hardware sales. Like, they've got to make it other places. So anyway, we'll see what happens. Like I said, I'm going to be fascinated when we see some of these numbers start emerging about how this thing sells. All that said, tied into the launch of the PlayStation 5 Pro is a big PS5 system update that has a bunch of new features, including what they're calling the Welcome Hub, which is the ability to personalize your home screen, essentially. Some other things, but one I wanted to mention specifically because it's cool for us, because we're nerds in this world, they are adding personalized 3D audio profiles into the system, which is a really big deal. So really quickly, we've talked about spatial audio on PlayStation 5. You can get on the Xbox as well. It's something that is becoming more and more common. You can have, you know, go to Apple Music and get spatial audio versions of music, and that it's super cool. What it is essentially creating a surround sound experience via headphones or right. earbuds, which kind of is cringy to me thinking about doing this in earbuds, which you can do it in earbuds as well. But having that experience of deep, complex audio that's not just stereo, but feels like it's above you and behind you and all that kind of stuff.
I feel like I have to say this because we're geeks, but when you go to the movies and you hear has Dolby Atmos, Dolby Atmos is what is pushing all of this. Mm-hmm. I have a system sitting here. We put together a system in my office here that is going to do okay Dolby Atmos, but like when you take a set of headphones, it gives more flexibility on and less hardware.
Yes.
To be able to give that same type of experience. Yes. And like the Dolby Atmos that I have here in the office isn't as good as I would like it to be. Like if I put on these headphones and plug them into a PlayStation 5, I'm going to get a better experience than I will on the big speakers here, unless I want to put speakers in the ceiling. Right. That's what they're trying to get to. And if you've never heard it, I remember the first time that you went to a theater as an audio professional just to see a movie with Dolby Atmos, because you texted me. You were like, I bought tickets. I'm so excited. It's my first Atmos experience. And we've both been playing around with it for a long time. I love it. It's awesome. And everything needs to go that way.
Yes, but there is one big, massive, huge caveat with all of that, is that it doesn't work great for everybody.
No.
When we talk about it in the headphone realm, because this whole experience is built off of the physiology of your ears, your personal way that you hear. So everybody has a unique anatomy of how their ears are formed. And that is what we use to cue us to whether our sounds are above us or below us or behind us or in front of us or all that kind of stuff. And so whenever you plug in your headphones to your PlayStation 5 to get spatial audio, for some people, it clicks immediately and you go, that's really cool. And for other people, they go, it doesn't really sound that different. Like, it kind of sounds weird. Whereas having actual physical speakers like you have in your space translates to basically everybody,
right?
Because you're still using your personal ears for that.
Yeah.
So what Sony is doing here is you go through a series of tests. And again, this is never going to perfectly mimic what your actual ears are without going and get actual physical scans. But this is a step in the right direction that you go through this test. I haven't done it yet, but I'm hoping to do it today. Plug it into my PlayStation, just see how it goes. You go through a test where it gives you a bunch of like audio cues and you've set preferences based off that or whatever. And the purpose of that is to try to figure out like the algorithm of your physical ear so that spatial audio is more customized for the actual shape and composition of your ears so that everybody can get a more personalized experience of this. And so instead of it being kind of one size fits most and some people are just kind of left out because it just doesn't match their ears, that it gets a lot closer to being like true to everybody of being able to get this spatial audio, which is super cool. Like, it is really, really awesome. Right. If you could make it work.
I have to bring this up because Duff probably feels like I've blown him off. Because several months ago, he texted both of us and said, I need both of you to download the spatial audio for Cyberpunk 2077. And I went to the website and looked at it, and I was like, I'm not doing this, because it was the same type of deal. You had to have headphones, and you run a test, and you, like, they wanted like $14 for the driver. And like I looked at it for like 20 minutes and I texted you and I was like, if you have time, will you look at this? Because I'm not doing it. And I think he was sort of frustrated, because it's the first time that I ever texted him and was like, no, dude, I'm not doing that, because I already have Atmos in my house. Like, I, this is not something that I need to waste my time on. Like, it's a very, he said he didn't like it. And basically, he tried it. He said, I didn't think it was that good. He was like, I went back to my Logitech, whatever. And I thought it was okay. And I was like, look, man, if you don't like it, trust us. We're not going to like it. I'm not going to waste my time. That's what it is. And part of the reason that I am excited still about this room that I am sitting in is that you have not been here, which means because you have not been here, I have not properly EQ'd this room. I've done the basic stuff, but I've not really dug into the EQ of the receiver and tweak this and tweak that. And when we do that, when you get here, it's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
As good as it sounds now, it's going to make a difference. And I'm so excited. And I'm excited that Sony is doing this and understands that everybody is different. And you have to, you know, you can't just slap on a pair of headphones and be like, here you go.
Yeah, this is, and again, this is the world that I follow very closely as being part of my job. But this is one of the major barriers still for kind of spatial audio becoming standardized, or at least much more common, and being a competitor to stereo, which hasn't had a competitor for 60 years.
Right.
Like spatial audio has a potential to do that, but it has to be through this ability to customize. Apple's been playing with this a little bit with Apple products. You can do kind of customize.
Pro apparently has really, really, really good spatial audio.
Yeah, and it could kind of get a sense of your, you know, physical ear shape and adapt, and again, build the right algorithms for that purpose. And so we're getting there, but this is another big step, another consumer product that has built-in ability to customize to a certain degree. I don't know how well it works. That's kind of the big question mark. Like, let's see how well it works. And so I hope to have a report for the next show of like, let's try it out. But
I can't believe we're doing it three times in the same show, but we got to go back to Ratchet and Clank.
Right.
I have no doubt that it's going to be good. I have no doubt that you're going to be impressed because we put headphones on with the PlayStation 5 when we played Ratchet and Clank. Look, you do audio for a living. I've been in audio for a long time. To this day, that's the best spatial audio experience I have ever had outside of a movie theater.
Yes. Definitely in headphones, like definitely through hearing it in headphones, like, yeah, absolutely. Which is crazy. A video game did that. So anyway, we'll see. We'll talk about it more. It might suck. And we go, okay, well, at least they're trying and there's room for improvement here. But I'm hopeful that we get moving in the right direction.
Right.
A couple last things before we wrap up here. This one's just so big and it's just another game that we got to get back to, and now we've got more reason to get back to it. Baldur's Gate 3 now has official mod support, which is just
Lord help us.
Insane.
Lord help, because you know what that means with that game?
Yeah.
That means new campaigns.
We got a million new games. It is literally a Dungeons and Dragons game that now you could go in and customize to your heart's content. I'm sure, like, it talks about it in the story, all the things that are customizable, which again is a ton. Things like user created weapons, armor, classes, spells, dice skins, just about anything else. Like building custom campaigns in the thing, like, it's just wild that like, I don't know that it's going to be Skyrim level, but it has the potential to be Skyrim level.
Like they've been talking for a couple of years, at least a year, that like, we're not, if there's a Baldur's Gate sequel, Larian's not doing it. And like, this right here is the Baldur's Gate sequel.
Right.
Baldur's Gate 4. Forget it. I'm sorry for whoever is doing Baldur's Gate 4. We hope you don't suck because we love video games. But like, this is the sequel to Baldur's Gate. Like, this gives the game an entirely new life.
you could just go on in perpetuity at this point, which I am totally okay with. And by the way, a game that we got to finish.
Yes,
so good.
We have to.
Has so much more life to it, which is crazy. There is an official in-game mod manager. So again, Larian is leaning all the way into this, which is great. That's what we want. And they are also saying they will never prevent outside modding through for their gaming. And so even if it doesn't exist in their official mod interface, you go to Nexus Mods or whatever. I'm sure there's tons of Baldur's Gate already saw, like within the first 24 hours there was some absurd number of mods that were already out for Baldur's Gate 3. And so there you go. If you needed something else to do, there's a whole other world of something else to do.
Okay, so real quick, we don't have time because you gotta go teach class, but I just have to say this. Part of the reason that the PS5 Pro has an uphill climb is because we have good Cyberpunk at this point, and we have good Baldur's Gate 3. Yeah. Like that's two of the greatest all-time games.
Yeah.
Like, that's two of the greatest games you and I will have played or will probably ever play. Like, if you got those two, that's it. Right, like we're playing both of them right now. We're gonna be real lucky if we finish either one of them by the end of this year,
or
in the next year. Like, and then you talk about Spider-Man 2, and then what, Red Dead, and they're like, there's just the we have some of the greatest games out right now that have been out for a while that we've ever had in our lives. I have no reason to run out and pick up a PlayStation 5 Pro. Don't need it.
Nope. It's crazy. We are blessed. One more old man thing before we wrap, because I just have to throw it in here because I knew you would appreciate it, and I'm just so geeked and it's ridiculous. There is a Carmen Sandiego game coming.
Yeah!
And if you are our age, Carmen Sandiego was a big freaking deal, and I just love this so much.
Okay, so here's why it was a big freaking deal. Because it was one of those games that was quote unquote educational,
uh-huh,
that our parents wanted us to play.
Yeah.
Like that's what it was. And it's a huge freaking, it's like okay, the equivalent of this is if there happens to ever be, and I really hope this happens, if the only equivalent I can come up with is if somebody decides to develop a Hank the Cowdog game. that's what this is. If you're not from the Texas Panhandle, you don't know what I just said.
You might. Hank the Cowdog's a big deal, man. Like, right. It's worldwide, huge deal. So.
But yeah, that's the equivalent from when we grew up, because yes. I read Hank the Cowdog books. You did. You're reading them to your kids right now. Carmen Sandiego is huge.
Yes, Carmen Sandiego is huge. Fun fact, I don't know that we've talked about this probably, but just to put it out here, Hank the Cowdog takes place on land that my wife's family leases. Like the location of the ranch.
I did not know that.
Yeah. The author of Hank the Cowdog is from my hometown. I went to school with this, like the whole thing. And so if you've ever heard of Hank the Cowdog, they're a great children's series. But yeah, like that is literally where I grew up, because they literally place on land that like I have driven a four-wheeler on, worked cattle on, like the whole thing. So
Let me just say that the next time you talk to your mother-in-law, would you just please let her know that at some point I would like to come out and walk around? Because that kind of geeks me out just a little.
Right?
Like, we need to take some time, go to the Dixie Dog, get us
the Hank the Cowdog tour,
and then get our Hank the Cowdog on. That needs to happen. That's like a 2-day tour. I did not know that. That makes me happy. So if we could ask Grammy if I could make an appearance at the ranch, that would be awesome.
There you go. Back to Carmen Sandiego, just really quickly. A couple of caveats here. It is a Netflix published game, because Netflix is also working on a live action Carmen Sandiego movie, which is fascinating. And just have to mention Carmen Sandiego, kind of hot. You know, yes. Like as a like as a boy in the early 90s, Carmen Sandiego was one of those people, like, okay.
It's that.
Making some things click in my brain.
It's that. That's what it is. It's that. Just real quick. I have to bring this up. Have you played any of the Netflix games?
I have not. I've played with it just a little bit one time. I'm trying to remember. It's been quite a while, and so I couldn't even tell you what like I pulled off of it. I played something that was on Netflix, but wasn't like a Netflix published game. It's just like something random that they had the publishing rights to, but like was a game that was otherwise. But like I said, I can't even tell you what it was.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because I know they are making a push to be a big deal. They showed up for Opening Night Live.
Right.
Several Netflix titles. I have Netflix. I'm in Netflix on a regular basis. I went through the spell that you go through where you don't watch Netflix for a while and you're like, why am I paying for this? Now I'm back in it. And it just occurred to me after watching Opening Night Live the other night that the gaming side of Netflix is not prevalent enough.
Yes.
To make me look at it, like you got to dig through the app to find it. Like I'm sure you don't have to dig. I'm sure if I fire it up, it's right there. But I haven't. It's not visible enough that I was like, oh, I got to check this out.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I absolutely do, because I had that same experience, and it's something they need to work on. But obviously, that's something they're trying to grow, and so you would imagine that. So, real briefly, we'll wrap up with this. Releases. There have been several notable releases to mention since last time we talked about releases, which was a couple of shows ago. Marvel vs. Capcom Arcade Classics is out as an 86. We saw that somewhere. I don't remember where we saw that, but Satisfactory is officially out of Early Access, has a 90 Metacritic score. That's a pretty big deal. Warhammer 40K, Space Marine 2, an 83. Wow. Astrobot, this is what we got to play. People are saying Astrobot may be game of the year on PlayStation 5, which is insane. Has a 94 right now on Metacritic, so pretty high number there. The Quidditch game has a 64, but it's free on PlayStation Plus. So, there's that. I haven't tried it out yet. I need to. And then I wanted to mention Star Wars Outlaw, which I saw Sam talking about over on the Facebook that he's enjoying it. 76, which is spot on for a UB game.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So real quick, I'm so glad that he's enjoying it, because I looked up 3 or 4 different reviews. And all of them, and I put this on the Facebook page, so if you want to read the conversation that's going on over there, please go over there and check it out. Join the group, because that's where everybody hangs out that listens to the show. Everything that I've seen is like, it's really good, but. And the but is like, the butt means it has some major issues. Like, it has some things that it's the UV effect.
Yes.
It's that thing that UV does that it's just like, it could have been really awesome, but it's this.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad to hear Sam say that he's enjoying it. I hope that when you start playing it, you will stream a good portion of it, because I don't think I am physically going to be able to play it. And I'm especially probably not going to play it if it's not that great, because we don't have time.
Right.
I'm interested in that because it is a solid UV game, and I hate that, but it is what it is.
Yeah, for sure. And nothing wrong with a solid UB game in Star Wars world. It is what it is. So, go by the show notes, gamingcensor.com. We got through most of the stuff, not everything. There are show notes there that we didn't get through. So go by the show notes, gamingcensor.com, see the things we didn't get to.
And I'm going to actually add a link to Jonathan Miller on Instagram.
For sure.
So that we can get him some traffic so that I can DM him and go, dude, you made another show. Would you come work with us? Because we would really like to have him come work with us.
For sure.
And we would like to have him come work with us enough that we'll give him money. Jonathan, if you're listening, we'll give you money to do some art for us.
100%.
It's some good stuff. But definitely go over to the website, check out the show notes. I know there are new people out there because I've run into several people in the last couple of weeks that have been like, hey, what do you do? And I'm like, I do this. And they're like, you have 484 episodes. And I'm like, right. Yeah, we're really old.
Yes.
So, I know there's new people out there, Presley being one of them. And if you're out there and you're enjoying the show for the first time, welcome. We have a Facebook page. We have we don't have Instagram. We need an Instagram. If you would like to help us start an Instagram, you're welcome to help us start an Instagram, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. We have an X account, which I'm still going to call Twitter.
Yes.
That's always interesting to pay attention to because Tommy's paying attention to that. And we just have a good time on the internet. So if you want to come hang out with us, there are lots of places to do that, and we hope you will.
Yep, for sure.
Other than that, sir, is there anything else?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. For one more week, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.